This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
I will sing of the goodness of God. So this poem that we're speaking on the heart of David. The heart of David. One of the most fascinating characters in the Bible for me was David. The Lord told me to study him. Yes, Pa. The Lord told me to study three characters in the Bible. And the ministry was starting, and I found myself right at the center of it, and I didn't know my left or my right. The Lord said, I don't know what to do. People are coming to me left, right, and center from all over the world. And I was using what I would consider at the time, I was using what we call echo. There's something we call echo. For those who know this, we call it echo. It's called sense. I was using local sense to attend to people because I don't know what they wanted. People will call and they will say, "Oh, I have this problem." And I'll be wondering, "Why are you coming to me?" Like, the thing will be shocking me. "Why are you coming to me?" Now I'll be driving, my phone will ring. I'll pick somebody, will say, "My daughter is in the hospital." I'll be wondering, "Why are you calling me? Am I a doctor?" This was years back. I can't pretend. That is the truth. In 2017, 2018, 2019, I was always perplexed. Why people assume I have a solution to the problem? I'm wondering, why are you calling me? Because I didn't put out a billboard. I didn't put out an advert. I just want to live my life. And I like my life. Just want to live a quiet life. Oh, my phone will ring in the middle of the night, in the afternoon. It's still ringing till now, but at least now I know why. In those early days, I had no idea how people got my number, why they were calling. Nobody would call from Abuja. Nobody would call from, I know, someone. And they would call and they would act the way that king acted in the Book of Kings when he said they should bring the head of Elisha. You know, like, why do you have a problem? And you think that the solution to that problem is with somebody else. Like, you have a problem. Why are you not solving it? You know, the Lord took me to that scripture. And the Lord said to me, "What role did Elisha play here?" And I said, "I don't even know. The guy was sitting in his house. The king attracted a war. People came to fight the king. There was a siege. They blocked the gate. And then the enemies camped outside. What did Elisha do wrong? Why did the king say they should bring Elisha's head?" You know? And then the Lord told me that my angels have announced you because I have chosen you. So you can't stop people from coming. They will come. They will come and they will call and it will never stop. I said, "Oh, I'm going to announce it on social media. I'm going to go to Facebook and Twitter and say, nobody should call me." The Lord said, "They will never stop. You have to guard up your loins and begin to do the work." And I started doing the work, kicking and screaming. You know, protesting all the way. Especially because of the environment where I found myself at the time. It wasn't conducive at all. And over the years, the Lord has taught me the leadership and fellowship are his properties. Every time I complain, the Lord will say, don't be like Moses. Be like David. David gave me the leadership of my people. He did not take it. Moses took the leadership. David did not take the leadership. David was a pseudo king. He was not like Saul, who was a proper king. If you look at the Midrash, the writings of the rabbis concerning Saul, the rabbis consider Saul to be the perfect king. They consider David to be the imperfect king. To the Christian, David was the perfect king. Saul was the imperfect king. The reason for this is because of our perspectives. For those who wanted a king in the flesh, Saul was perfect. He protected Israel. He fought their battles. If you look at him with your normal eyes, Saul did not do anything wrong. He died defending Israel. Like, what else do you want from the man? The Bible said in the book of 1 Samuel, I think chapter 30, as he and five sons went to the battle at Gilboa, and they didn't make it out alive, all of them. Not only did he sacrifice himself, he sacrificed his sons. He gave his daughters in marriage to Israelites. He didn't give his daughters in marriage to strangers. He built the Commonwealth of Israel. He was a nationalist. Solomon was a globalist. Saul was a nationalist. Judah, however, was a, what we'll call it, theorist, a goddess. David was not interested in impressing the people or impressing the world. He just wanted to serve God. He just wanted to impress God. So, David, put God first. And then all the leadership roles he was supposed to take, he relinquished them to God. This was what made him so unique. He was a servant king. He was a serving king. He was a friendly king. He was a worshiping king. At the heart of David, you see devotion to God in a childish devotion. David was great, but he never carried the greatness. He never became conscious of his own greatness. You know, when a lot of people have a saying, they will say that, but you know your own value. When they say that to somebody, what they mean is that the person is acting as if it's not very valuable, but everybody around the person knows that the person is valuable, of great value. So meaning, God will not allow you to know your own value. What they are telling the person is that you are extremely valuable, but you are too humble to see it. And which is a plus, because if you saw it, you may begin to act as if you are valuable, and then you become proud. So that somebody can be so valuable and yet not be aware of it. It's a trait, is a characteristic that David embodied so easily. He was extremely valuable. In fact, he was the only king in the Bible that was fighting a battle, that was going to lose in that battle. And his men said, the men rescued him from a giant from Ethiopia. And then they said, we will never fight a battle again. They said, we will not allow the light of Israel to be extinguished in our presence. You have to understand that ambitious men, ambitious people, not to want somebody to die, to protect somebody so much with everything, to fight, not for themselves, not for their own ambition, but for somebody else. You have to understand how strange it is. Because people don't wish kings well, especially if they are close to the throne. People want to be the leader. People want to be the number one. If somebody else is the number one, they may be clapping for the person and they may be polite and nice. But they don't mind if the person dies so that they can be number one. I was talking to somebody recently, and this is a sore point, but we're having a discussion, and they were talking about a particular man that died recently in Nigeria, who was a popular banker. So until the man died, I didn't even know that such a man existed. I won't lie. I never knew his name. I never knew anything about such a man. I didn't know anything about him. Then the man died, and it took to the news and the waves and everything. I was like, who is this person? And then I realized that the man was my bank, the bank where I put some of my money. This man was the CEO of the bank. I called my camera. I said, this man has died. Are we safe? Should we go and come and carry our money? I was just fishing for this. Wanted to know the man from a perspective apart from what I was reading in the newspaper. This person started laughing and said, I mean that. You know, sometimes the way the world will see a thing and the way the thing is are two different things. But do you think the CEO, the current CEO now, even though she may look sad, do you think she didn't give thanks to God for giving her the opportunity to serve and for making history? I said, wow. But yeah, it's a new era. Even the previous retired CEO mentioned the name of the man, I think I.G. Mokwede, said they brought him back. They may not be happy about it, but you cannot tell me he's sad also. He said, so you know these things, God is just God. You provided excellent insight to your teachings to know that you know these things, God is just God has a way of having been stuff. And I understand what she was saying. Of a David to be so protected, to find himself in a place where people were given an arm and a leg, not to see him fall. People are not saying, I remember when Ahab and Jeroboam wanted to go to the battle of Ramoth Gilead. Nobody told them, we will fight for you. The king, sit down. We will go. Nobody. As in, they went to even meet prophets, that prophets should prophesy. That was when they were told that Ahab was going to die. But nobody tried to stop them from the battle. They were kings, and kings fight. But people preserved David from fighting. Yeah. Do you know? I've seen the Lord's goodness. I've also seen the faithfulness of his people. I've seen people protect me with everything. I mean, with everything. I've seen people fight for me. I've seen people cover my flaws. I've seen people defend me. I've seen people make up for my shortcomings. No. I've seen it. I've seen people report me to somebody and the person would explain my perspective and try to explain that, oh, it didn't mean that. This is what it meant. And the people don't come to me to come and explain and tell me, oh, we're doing this for you. We are fighting your battles. We're trying to correct errors, or we're trying to straighten the perspective of people that didn't get it right. But I hear from other sources, the same people that are complaining will eventually get to me and they will say, oh, Badinga, you did this, you did that, but I wanted to come and then Pastor this or Sister this or Brother that we talk. And then he said, no, that's not what it meant. No, that I'm wondering, wow. Wow. This is what it means to be like David. You know, be 100% like we're fighting sword fight and somebody protected. But yeah, the mouth is a two-edged sword though. And then I've seen people do that. I've seen God raise defenses, not only with angels, but also with men. And to have a heart like the heart of David is to have a heart that does not desire control. I think it is one of the reasons that God likes me so much. I hate controlling people. It's despotic leadership. I like people to be free. I like people to be free. And I like them to make their decisions. It's led by the Holy Spirit for the benefit of their own life. I've been under so many kinds of leaders and pastors over the years. And I realized that at the end of the day, when you take on too much, you are just going to crash and burn. You should let people leave. You should let them have the full expression of their lives, make decisions and grow by it. The more they make decisions, the more they mature. The more they mature, the better it is for everybody. That the body of Christ may have mature sons, that we shouldn't have too many babies. The church, as I see it at the moment, too many babies. And so many need to grow up from America to Antarctica. So many Christians need to begin to grow up, man up, take decisions without farming out key decisions to third party. It will help our world if we have thinking Christians and not religious ones who just follow the leadership of one person that is myopic, you know, but that is anointed. We have a lot of such. As a leader, as a father, as a mother in the house, you must strive to have the kind of heart that David has. David was, you remember David's dealing with Barzillai the Gileadite, with Ittai the Gittite, even with Joab, with Amasa, with Abiathar. See the way David. David is a fantastic character. Fantastic. Every time you look at him, I've never seen anybody that is more just in dealing with people than David. If he had lived to be 1,000 years old, Joab would have lived to be 1,000 years old. In all that David did, he knew Joab was an asset to him, and he knew Joab would be a liability to Solomon. So, when he was going to die, he said, "I'm gone, make sure Joab follows me." He did Joab a big favor so that both of them would go. Joab will continue to follow him all. Even in death, Joab will continue to defend him. The heart that does not complain. David has the kind of heart that holds gratitude to value. He's always grateful, always gracious. And he went through all sorts of seasons in his lifetime. He wasn't all rosy. But he didn't allow his situations or experiences to define him. Till he drew his last breath, David was a super, super, super person. I mean it. Super person. Do you know that in dealing with Bathsheba and Uriah, there was a solution that could have worked for everybody? It's a bad solution, but it is better than to have been better than the one he chose. David could have just killed Bathsheba. It was the obvious thing to do. Just kill the girl. The girl will cry a little. We'll marry another girl. And life will go on. Because I considered all the scenarios. All the scenarios. The weak link was Bathsheba. Uriah was a very strong man. And David paid the steep price for killing that man. Bathsheba was a weak link. She would have been missed, but only by her husband. She wouldn't have been missed by the whole army. She wasn't part of the 33. She wasn't part of the 100. She wasn't part of the 30. She wasn't of any great significance. And they were both like partners in this sinful thing. And she was very, 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 was very much part of the scheme to get the king to lose his head. Now David was faithful and gracious to that woman. He said to the Lord, he said, "To you, you only have I sinned and done this evil. To you only." He acknowledged it. He didn't try to hide it. And he confessed it. When Nathan came, and of us remember when Samuel came to Saul, and the way Saul behaved, he even tore Samuel's clothes. And then Samuel had to tell him that the kingdom had been taken away from him. When Nathan came to David and told him that parable, David had to rethink his moves. David did not hide his sin. Was that kind of a leader? Kind of a leader that would take responsibility. We didn't have ego issue. We didn't have optics issue. Like, I want people to see me this way or that way. No. They lived this life. They made these errors. And they made this peace. And the Bible recorded them as the one the Lord delights until tomorrow. There are so many kings that ruled. There were so many kings. The Star of David is the Star of Israel till tomorrow. Jesus was the son of David. He wasn't the son of Solomon. God took David to the innermost parts of the courts of heaven. God showed David the future, showed him tomorrow. And this is because of his heart. He had a unique heart. I've read about him. I can tell about David all day and all night. Like today, I was just talking, speaking to his character in certain levels. I didn't even speak to the leadership prowess and the ability and the things he did in Philistine and how he got the three anointings, the first one, the second, the third, when he became king eventually. I didn't speak to that, but just the kind of heart that one can call a thankful heart. A grateful heart. Look at him in the cave of Adullam. I was going to get him water. Look at that unique thing he did when he poured the water before the Lord. I'm telling you, to think like David, to have a heart like that, awesome. Awesome. Even to be a copycat, to copy him. You see, I just want to be copying David and to start acting like that. You will see how your life will change. He was such a character, so easy to love, so easy to understand, so easy to follow, and so easy to defend. In this month, as we praise the Lord, that kind of a heart is necessary. David was not a worry wart. It wasn't somebody who carried worry on his head. He was pragmatic. He found solution to problems. He didn't try to get prophets to come and cover his problems. When he did something wrong, he didn't say, "Call me Samuel. Oh yeah, Samuel, what should we do?" No, he took charge. He made his decisions before the heart. The Bible said there was a man after God's own heart, which means his character, the way he behaved, the way he handled himself. Anybody that handles himself that way will be a man after God's own heart. It's also difficult to please God. If you want to really please God, be like David. I promise you. Don't behave like him. God will be delighted in you. And people also will see it that you are indeed a child of God. This kind of a heart is needed, praising God. When we talk about praising, people want to dance, they want to go to church, they want to clap. But bad character praising God is bad character praising God. A bad person singing, "Oh, glory to the Lord," is a bad person singing, "Glory to the Lord." There's nobody that are singing. I know a guy that was a pastor in a church that was owing people 6 months salary in his office, and it was the one that was winning the award of the best giver in church. And when I saw it, I was shocked. "Wow, are you?" And they said, "Yeah, he gives to the Lord." I said, "What do you mean gives to the Lord? He doesn't pay salaries." Terrible person. Terrible. Can you not pay people salaries? And you are the one that is winning best giver in church. That's not like David. David took care of people. He loved the people of God. As we go into this week, I pray that the Lord would give you the kind of heart and the kind of grace that would make him proud of you. that the Lord will look at you and say, this is his son, this is my daughter, and I love her. I pray that the hand of the Lord will be heavy upon you, and you will see the miracles and signs that come with praises. Thank you, Father, for this session we spent together in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and